From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Morning, Mike.
Tell you what, those job numbers, and amongst all of the uncertainty, woe and worry in the world, then bam, in come the American job numbers.
Yeah, blowout number is what they call it. I mean, like, there's no shortage of coronavirus stories this morning. I don't think there's going to be any shortage for the next few weeks. And we've got this classic Italian implementation of new travel restrictions over the weekend as well. Pazzo, that's the word they use in Italy. Pazzo means crazy. But I'm going to try and keep some balance in terms of what we talk about. And although it's largely been relegated to the back pages of the US news reports, I don't think we got to not lose sight of some of the important stuff. And I'm talking about the state of the US labor market. So US jobs report was released Friday night, our time. You look, Mike, everywhere is definitely going to enter a pretty disruptive period. But the one thing I can say with some certainty is the US labor market, so one of the biggest economy in the world, is very well placed to deal with that disruption. The US economy added 273,000 jobs in February, which probably represents the peak in terms of the employment numbers. We wouldn't expect it to get better from here. But the expectation was 175,000 jobs. I mean, the unemployment rate came in at 3.5%. These are very, very strong numbers. That was versus expectations of 3.6. Average hourly earnings printed at 3%. So as I said, it was called a blowout number. If I look from December through to February, the US economy added an average of 243,000 jobs per month, so a very strong period. And look, if we look at the Friday night trading session, Mike, I just want to talk about that quickly. I mean, it's indicative of this crazy volatility we're seeing at the moment. The US markets had opened substantially weaker in the Friday session. Dow Jones fell 664 points on the open, and this was after a pretty weak session Thursday night. But then very strong rally into the close, you know, charged back sort of 2.5% in the last hour. You know, there were periods last year where that was kind of like a monthly move,
yeah, exactly,
not a last hour of the day move. So uncertainty of the theme. So this strong labour number, everyone's sort of saying, well, it's yesterday's news. It's all about what's in front of us. Still plenty of uncertainty there, but we're well placed to deal with these things.
Exactly. Talk to me about China, because we also got the numbers on imports, exports. I can't work it out because some of them were expecting a lesser fall, some a bigger fall. But if you compare it to the GFC, it's still not the end of the world, seemingly.
No, not at all. So, yeah, let's try and keep coming back to facts, shall we? So this is China's export and import data released over the weekend by the General Administration of Customs. And so there'll be a lot of talk now, and I think we'll try and cover this over the rest of the week, about, we want to talk about V-shaped recoveries or U-shaped recoveries. And I'll go into that more detail later on this week. But we look at this import-export data. Look, it wasn't flash, but nobody was expecting it to be flash. And it sort of highlighted that uncertainty as to what these numbers are going to be. Exports fell 17.2% in the January-February period compared to the same period last year. But imports for the same period only fell 4%. Now, economists were picking that number to fall by 16.5%.
Yeah.
So big miss in terms of estimates. We don't really know what's going on. Yes, if you compare that to the GFC, Mike, in August 2009, exports fell 22%, so a lot more. But imports early in 2009 fell 43%. So not as bad, but it really does depend on how they come out of it. Now, because of the extent of these numbers, China actually ran a trade deficit for the first 2 months of the year. So a trade deficit of just over $7 billion. Look at the same period last year, $41 billion surplus. So it has moved those numbers quite substantially. Look, the first quarter in China, Mike, is going to be horrible. You could see the first quarterly contraction in the Chinese economy since 1976. These will be historically significant numbers, but it all depends on what happens from here in terms of what the impact is sort of globally.
Rest of the numbers, please.
25,864 was where the Dow Jones closed, which was down 0.98%. The S&P 500, 2972, a bigger fall there, 1.7%. And the NASDAQ, 8575, 1.87% fall. And a lot of pretty ugly numbers. FTSE 100, 6462, down 243, 3.5%. The Nikkei, 20749, down 2.7%. Shanghai Composite, 3034, down 1.2%. Australasia, the ASX 200, 6216, down 2.8%. The NZX 50, 11,425, down 1.8%. On the currencies, we've got some very wide spreads this morning, Mike. So these are as close as I can get. Against the US, 0.63%. 0.50, so stronger, 0.9560 Aussie, 0.5623 Euro, 0.4867 pounds, 67 flat on the yen. Gold trading at $1,673.83, and Brent crude.
Here we go.
Yeah, we'll talk about this tomorrow morning, Mike. Drum roll. $45.27. Yeah. Very significant. Talk about that tomorrow.
Appreciate it very much. JMIWealth.co.nz.